Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 490. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Jeff is a dirty, dirty mailman, and it's so hot.
Our dirty mailman Jeff is here too.
I'm here.
And Earl is with us as well.
And the world has not ended for another week. Yeah, but stay tuned to next week to see what happens.
It's getting frightening in that way. Where it's just like, hey, this may be it. Like,
you just never know.
How is everybody dealing with this weird reality we are living in currently?
Not great.
I'm pretty sure this is like my seventh day in a row drinking, so super. Yeah. I'm doing well.
I made a comment to somebody, or I don't know if I said it in our group chat or whatever, but I'm like, this is turning me into Ben Affleck from the fucking way back.
I think my wife was finally starting to crack yesterday. She just sat in front of CNN and watched the numbers go up.
Oh, God. Oh.
And every time I walked in, she was like, they just keep going up. And it's getting worse and worse. Like, that's how numbers work. Like, they're not going to go down.
They'll do it right next to a stock like, market ticker.
Those ones are going down. Which ones you want? you can't sit here and watch CNN all day. That's not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I have a bad habit of being way too addicted to Twitter, which is, you know, it's news sharing site basically, right? And
kind of.
And like, part of it, I'm like, I'm going like, this is not healthy. But then like, the other part of me is just like, you know, feeling anxious and scared about what's happening right now is like, I think a sign of sanity. Like,
yeah,
should be fucking a little worried about what's going on.
Yeah, you know? Like there should be some sort of self-preservation mechanic kicking in for you at this point. That's probably a sign of sanity, or at least common sense.
But yeah,
and you can't ignore it because I was ignoring everything that was coming from my company about it. I'm at home, like doesn't really matter. Like, not reading this bullshit, and I've just been deleting anything that says COVID-19, moving it into a different folder.
Oh God,
and that's bad because evidently somebody in my office tested positive on Monday. Now I haven't been in the office for over a week, but it's like, oh
yeah.
And now they're telling everybody to they're shutting everything down. So.
Yeah, a neighboring office of mine has someone with it, but it's only a matter of days before it's coming to my office, your office, everybody's. Yeah. It's the reality of it. Like, it's going to go everywhere. Like, that's just what it is.
And I mean, aside from the coworker that I don't know whose name, they did not release that. I'm not sure if I interact with this person or not. But I do know two other people that have like been infected by it. So I haven't been near them, but I do know.
And you won't go near them now.
No, certainly not. But so it's like it's starting to branch out. People are now. Like, you know somebody that knows somebody at the very least.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think a lot of people are like, well, it only affects the old. And it's like,
it's not true.
Yeah. Like, there's still like, at any age, there's still like a good 15 to 20% of people that are going to be like seriously ill from it. So,
right. But, and I think the thing that's misleading with that is that it's not that it doesn't affect young people. They can get it. It's that it's like older people have a better chance of having death.
Yeah.
As it's not like we're immune to it. It's not like it's an old person disease. It is an anybody disease.
Yeah.
Even if it was only serious towards old people, it's like that still matters. Like, that doesn't mean you're just like, oh, fuck it.
Well, you got to tell that to certain. You have to say people who run a country. I'm not going to say what country.
begins with
Finland?
A U.
Is it Finland? Tell me it's Finland.
I mean, I think both countries that begin with U could use that reality booster, but it's very disconcerting that certain parties, again, I'm not going to use names, will rather put the economy above people because people are willing to sacrifice because they want the economy to be booming.
But and that's stupid too, because if a bunch of people die, the economy's not going to, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's a very, I don't even want to say elementary, because I think most kids would realize, like, yes, if you have 8 pizzas and nobody to buy them, how does that work?
Yep. is exactly it. Like, we're seeing it. The company I work for is very specialized in a corporate industry. But we're already seeing like companies going, like, we can't afford your membership. Like, we are canceling, or we are not actually signing what we were going to sign like 2 weeks ago. It's just, it's not doable for us. We don't know how long this is going to last. And like best case scenario is another 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
Yes. That is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
And that's probably not what's going to happen.
No.
Unfortunately.
Especially if you send people back to work because you want the economy to boom.
It's going to result in the exact opposite of what he hopes is going to happen. Like, people go back to work. No, like, and then we'll have to shut it down again. And it'll.
I was just watching Bill Gates on this on CNN, and he was like, you know, if we did this like nationally, like a national shutdown, everybody shuts down, that's going to be the fastest way to get through this. And it's like, we're not doing that. It's just piecemeal. Like,
no, and that's the other thing that frustrates me. Again, not naming names or countries.
Like, there could be a person at the top of the government who says that we should shut shit down.
Yeah. We're going to reopen. We're going to reopen the economy. And I'm just like, technically speaking, the federal government hasn't done anything. So, I mean, by the books, nothing's closed. Like, you can't reopen anything you've not closed. Yeah. It's states that are like, oh, you know what, we don't want our citizens to die. Which, you know, maybe that's not a cause for everybody, but I'm happy for it.
No, that is, like, the one silver lining here is, like, you know, the federal government could reopen, but if you have smart state government, like, I don't see New York being like, nah, yeah, we're reopening for business on the 9th. Like, I don't see that happening. And if New York stays closed and California stays closed, well, your economy basically still stays.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, again, like, I wish people were self-aware enough that it's like, oh, we're going to open the government and the economy back. And I'm like, yeah, but you realize like half the country is actually still functioning like normal. So like you're saying that these coastal states that you always make fun of, not naming names again, are the ones that kind of control this economy. Because as far as I know, Kentucky's still operating. Iowa's still operating.
Idaho is still operating.
Sure.
We are somehow surviving, and as Earl said, maybe next week we won't be. But
hey, as long as we can still go to the grocery store and, you know, buy food, we'll be okay, right? And liquor stores, as long as they're
liquor stores still open.
So our liquor stores are closed, but our beer distributors are open. So we Pennsylvania is weird in that the state control, like, state employees run the liquor stores.
Interesting.
But beer distributors are independently owned. So
you can't get gin, but you can get beer.
Yes.
Crazy. Well,
that's good. That's fine.
And they are listed as an essential in place of employment. So
very fucking
as our dispensaries, by the way.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Fuck, man, how else are you gonna get through this shit, man?
That's right.
It was funny. I was at the last week. I was at the grocery store, and in Pennsylvania, we can now buy beer in grocery stores. That was not a thing that happened for years. I can't believe
Pennsylvania has those weird laws. Usually that's like in the South, but
so we're for most people just look at Pennsylvania and think Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's it. Like those are the two big cities, but everything else in the middle is like, it's basically Kentucky in the middle.
Well, Illinois is very similar. Like it's Chicago, but like Chicago's so dominant. Like I think Chicago is 75% of Illinois' population, right. So it's just like we dominate the state. Like
I would say I think that's a majority of big states. Like New York, it's the same thing. Like for us, a lot of it is New York City is the big thing, but upstate New York is very red. California. Like actually, California's a weird one because like NorCal and SoCal are actually pretty liberal. It's the middle of the state that is actually pretty Republican. Yeah.
So that's why Pennsylvania has like these weird liquor laws and stuff. Is that middle of the state has held on to them?
If only could remove that middle.
Yep. Get rid of it. Get rid of Pennsylvania and.
I will say, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but one of my favorite things in the world is visiting different states and realizing the different liquor laws. You could buy it at a supermarket, but you can't buy it at a liquor store. You can buy it. You can only buy it at a liquor store. You can. You can't have it near any gaming establishment, like casinos and stuff like that. You can buy it until like 8 a.m., 8 p.m. or something like that.
It's fascinating, state governments and how they run shit. So, anyway, those are essential places to go. Essential businesses. That's what I was looking for. Essential for us also is all four of us have been playing Animal Crossing.
Fuck yes.
some of us a little more than others.
somebody tweeted like Animal Crossing saved my life, and I'm like, I felt that, dude. It's like, it's for real, dude. Anyways.
So it's Animal Crossing, right?
It is Animal Crossing.
This is my first Animal Crossing game. I've never played it before.
Okay, so let's explore from Tony's perspective. This is only my second, but I've played a bunch of New Leaf. That was the last one, right?
I was gonna say, I'm curious because my ass one was the original on the GameCube, which is what, 18 years old now.
Still my favorite. I've talked about why that's my favorite, but anyways.
So they send you to this island under false pretenses, I guess.
Kind of.
You're supposed to be like settling this island, and Tom Nook is like, "Oh, everything is free. We got it." And then you get here, and you're like in indentured servitude.
you can't work for me now.
You can't leave the island, and you owe him all this money, and it's okay, you have a tent. Oh, you want more than a tent? Okay, well, it's going to cost you even more, even though you paid off all your debt. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to keep giving him money this whole time. That's what the game's going to be about, isn't it? It's
kind of, yeah.
And that seems to be the progression, right? I mean, there's other stuff. There's stuff you can do, but that seems to be how you advance, like, your island is by giving Tom Nook money, because then he allows you to do other things.
You know, in previous games, that was pretty much it. You know, and there was other things like, you know, building up your museum and stuff, which you do here again. But I do feel in the Switch, you know, this new one is like they've definitely, I think, added much more sense of progression to it.
Yeah, and I think
miles and stuff like that, and just like the way it's like trickling stuff out that like normally would be right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest change for me is, for example, I was literally just on a group chat with friends right before I started this podcast, And like one person, it's their first Animal Crossing game. And their question was like, what am I supposed to be doing? And it is a good question because there's really nothing like after you kind of get through the first day, few days or so, there's no real structure to the game as far as what you want to do. And it's not like an open world game where it's like, oh, I can do anything, you can go anywhere. It's like, no, like you don't really have anything to do. There's no end game. There's no like progression. There's no like, okay, I've beat Animal Crossing. And I think for me, that the original problem with the first one was like, that was it. It was like, oh, okay, there's nothing to do. So if you enjoy this, it's fine. But if you don't, there's not a ton to do. And I think with the Nook Miles, with these mini achievements, essentially, it gives you some sense of progression where like, oh, I should be trying out different stuff. I should be doing other stuff. I should be trying to fish. I should be trying to get insects. I should be trying to find the museum. I should be trying to, you know, sell items to the shop. I should be trying to get different fruits. And it does help me progress in the game in some sense.
Yeah, I think I would probably get lost and stop if it weren't that there. Like, now there's a reason to go pick up all those weeds. It's not just making money. It's, you know, the whole achievement aspect is really addictive in any game. Yeah. I think that's a strong element here.
The filling out the museum, I think is it was really cool in the other ones, but this museum is fucking awesome.
The museum's absolutely gorgeous.
It's like there's a full aquarium, in the last one or in previous ones, weren't your bugs kind of like dead? Weren't they just like plastered on a wall and shit? Like,
no, I want to say in the last couple, I want to say maybe even in the original, they were kind of like they would have like these outdoor settings in sections of the museum, and then there would be like, you know, bugs and stuff.
I thought there was like
there might be sections of that section that where it's like, here's a thing on the wall.
For some reason, I thought there was like bugs on a wall in the last one.
I want to say no, but
that's pretty cool. It's like an open air.
Dude, the museum's huge. Like, you could walk around one section of it for like a couple minutes. Like, just going through the aquarium, like, you know, where all the fish stuff is like, it's like multiple rooms. Like, you're just like, whoa, and it's just huge and like really thought out as if it were like someone was designing like a cool museum, like to make it fun to walk around in, you know?
Yeah, that's something like that I really felt like walking through the aquarium. Like, this is kind of designed like how an aquarium would be set up, like tanks with like, you know, walkways up to them and viewports.
Were you like walking through almost parts of the aquarium where it's like all around you
and like the different lighting too, like, oh, you, like where obviously there's going to be like a shark tank. It's like a little bit dimmer in there, like nice warm blue tones. And then in the, you know, where the dinosaur, like the dinosaur museum, the fossil museum, it's like nice, like cool lighting and everything. It looks like what you expect a museum to look like, just not like this, oh, it's like this cool little display area. But
do you notice when you go into the dinosaur section that there's like evolutionary lines on the floor? Like,
there's I think so.
I like the fact that, and I like the fact that if you actually, I mean, you probably caught this, but there's also like, there's also an evolutionary line with the furniture. It's like you have
yes, that's the part, that's what made me realize that's what it was. I was like, oh, like the line will lead up to a type of dinosaur, and then splitting off from that dinosaur will be lines going to the different types of villagers, like different types of animals.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I hadn't caught that. That's pretty cool. I really like that part. So like getting up and going and digging up my fossils each day, like it's like a big deal for me.
And I really like, I will hold back until I've donated like, I don't know, another 10 things to the museum. And I'm like, okay, let's take another stroll through the museum. Like, you know, and just like periodically check in on it coming to life. Can you imagine once you have it filled out, like how fucking cool that
place is? Yeah, it's going to look really awesome.
I have no awesome fish yet. It pisses me off so fucking much. Like, I saw so many people catching like that giant, like I think it oar fish or whatever, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I've fished so much, and I'm just getting fucking sea bass, yellow perch, bass. Like it's just like the same fucking fish every time, dude.
Yeah, I was happy. I've caught some new ones tonight. I caught like the football fish.
Ooh, and yeah, I got that one. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I've caught like three of them. And then I like that the random stuff that kind of happens every now and then. Last night I ran into the ghost for the first time.
Dude, that was my favorite thing in the original GameCube one. Like when I ran into him at like 3 a.m, my first time playing that game, I was just like, this game has no bounds. Like there's always gonna be some surprise. Like it's weird what he offers you now though, if you help him. Did you do that quest with him
or yeah. whatever?
It's like I want something expensive or I want something new. So I just keep choosing something new. Like if I choose something expensive, is he just going to give me something from my catalog that's worth a lot? Like,
yeah.
So I don't want, you know, fuck that. Like, give me, I want to like fill out my catalog more than
you want yeah. something. Yeah.
I already, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Okay.
So,
and I just like that, I like that. What am I trying to say? I like that it's so kind of not organic because, but like, I spoke to a Verger today and I posted this on Twitter, and the Verger started to talk to me about like how people who don't like pineapple on pizza are just frauds who are saying it to say it. And I'm like, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it's such a cool random thing that a Verger can say to you.
I love just talking to the villagers. One thing that's kind of disappointing me so far, and I really hope it doesn't like stay this way, is like they don't seem to ask you to do anything anymore. In the original game, it was very much like, "Hey man, I left my Game Boy over at so and so's house. Could you go get it for me?" Like, and it's just like they're not doing that at all. Like, and I thought maybe started getting more, they would, but they're just not.
I mean, I think it might be early on because I've had people like request certain items from me. I got to sell somebody a docky fish today.
Really? I've not had that yet. Like,
and then some of them are like, "Oh, you know, like they've given me stuff to beautify the island." But yeah, as far as like specific, like, oh, there's some people who have asked, like, "I want to get to know people better. Can you tell me X, Y, and Z?" And so, yeah, but I know what you mean. Like, so far, it's kind of been, like, talking to them. It's not been specific, like, side quests, essentially.
Like, give me a task. Like, tell me to go do something. Like, I really hope they haven't removed that, because, like, that was core to the original game. Like, when they first came out with Animal Crossing, like, Miyamoto was going around calling it a communication game. Like, that was the heart of the idea of it, was talking to the villagers and doing things for them and, you know, whatever, like... And talking to them is still very fun. Like, the writing is great. Like, they do say, like, just funny-ass things sometimes. And there's little things in there. Like once you start getting people to visit your village, like, they'll be like, "Hey, did you know so-and-so? Like, their nickname is this," or whatever. Like, one of your friends that visited.
Yeah, it's so weird. Because I visit my friend's village and stuff. And I was sharing with some friends the other night. They're like, "So-and-so was talking about you." They were like, "Oh," so, and I'm like, "Wait, what?" They're like, "Yeah." They were just like, "Oh, yeah, you know, he came over the other day. And he's just so kind." And I'm like, "Oh." And I just spoke to one. And I actually just sent a snap to my friend. I'm like, they were like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you still speak to so-and-so from XYR?" And I'm like, "Oh, this is kind of neat that like, they remember specific people."
And going back to like what Tony said about like them adding like this kind of sense of progression in the game is like what's drawing him back to it. I think the other thing that will draw you guys back, or at least what always draws me back to it, is I want to see Easter. I want to see what summer's like and what different types of shit is happening in summer. I want to see how it looks once it's, you know, winter and there's snow on the ground. I want to see all the holidays. Like,
yeah, we have like, a funny like, day coming up next week.
Like, that's my favorite thing about Animal Crossing is just, you know, it was revolutionary at the time when it came out, where it was just like, this is a real-time game. You know, when it's Halloween in real life, it's Halloween in the game, and it's still like, to me, like, the most special thing about it. Like, I know other games do seasonal events and shit like that, or, you know, holiday type, like Christmas events. But I don't know, when Animal Crossing first came out, that was, seemed like a really new idea. And it's still just like, I don't know, man. I just love seeing the seasons change in it and having the different holidays. Yeah, and Nintendo did announce some shit today about, right, where it was like...
Yeah, Bunny Day starts
next. Easter basically goes for like 2 weeks.
And then, yeah, then there's like an Earth Day event or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then like the Bunny Day one, you can find eggs hidden throughout the island, and you can create, you can craft specialty items for that. Oh, there's a Tarantula.
Those are worth a lot.
Yeah, they are, but they're also a pain in the ass to get.
Yeah, they're very aggressive, and they'll knock you out
in one hit.
So how do I get a ladder?
Oh, you'll get that eventually just through the course of the story.
I think Nook gives it to you after it's gonna happen, right? You got your museum, right? And you got your vaulting, or
I got the museum.
You got your shovel from Blathers, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, minor spoiler. He gives it to you once he invites people to move to the island because he wants you to find places to put their houses. So it's like day four.
Do you have the vaulting pole?
I have the vaulting pole.
Okay, yeah.
I just got the vaulting pole like
2 minutes
ago. Did they ever expand your inventory?
You can expand it once.
It'll give you another row. Yeah, it's it costs some like Nook miles in.
Yeah, it's 8,000 Nook miles.
It's I would say that's like the first thing you should spend your Nook miles on.
Oh, it was really the first thing I spent my miles on.
It's clutch.
Yeah, it's driving me absolutely crazy. I not have enough space.
It's like even with that now, and it's a huge inventory. You know, a huge backpack.
But it isn't, though.
I still sometimes will max out and have to go, okay, what am I doing?
By default, half of your inventory is for items you have to use anyhow. Because, like, between fishing pole, the axe, the shovel, ladder, the vaulting pole.
I wish that, because there's the wheel. I wish that once you get the wheel, that would just go there. And it would be out of your inventory, and you can just always carry it with you.
But interestingly, the wheel cannot fit all your tools either. It's like I think my shovel. No, you could assign the shovel, you could assign tools to the wheel, but it won't be able to hold all of them at once.
No, by default, it doesn't hold because I have the
stupid. Just make the wheel a little bigger.
I have the axe and I have the stone axe because if you have the axe,
you chop the trees.
Yeah. And I don't want to chop my trees down. I think that's my next project, though, is figuring out because I've not really done any landscaping to my island yet.
Yeah, I want to chop down some trees and just, make an orchard. This is going to be, an area where I can go farm.
I would wait a bit just until you get your, because you get fencing.
Okay.
And then once you get fencing, it's probably easier to create your orchard and stuff like that, so people can't just invade your space.
Right. So Jeff, tell us what happened with your expensive tree.
I don't even like it. I seriously.
I want to hear it now.
No, I can't because it's.
Was it a fruit tree?
She's in the room, isn't she? She can hear you talking.
We're not talking at the moment, honestly. So,
was it a fruit tree?
No, it was a $10,000 money.
Oh, it was tree. A money. So you buried $10,000,
I mean, I'm not gonna get into the story, but just to say this, that when you invite people to your island, if they're best friends with you, if you add them on the app in the game, the little phone you have, they could alter things on your island.
Yes.
And so I guess choose carefully who you allow to do that.
Yeah, I guess somebody could just come through and chop all your shit down and dig up all your trees.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's why
I've left the barren wasteland.
That's why they added that feature, because that's what used to happen in old games. Is that you could just, because you could just open your island to anybody, and people would just come and just destroy islands and leave. So, like,
terrible.
So, they've at least added that distinction now where you can like section off people in different ways, but it's like, yeah, I don't want to tell a story right now. Maybe one day it'll be funny enough that I'll want to talk about it, but like, it just,
I'm laughing now.
It pissed me off. So,
yeah, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm so far behind with it, because it's like, I look on Twitter and like, Javi has like a, he has like a whole garden full of flowers and shit. He like that he shaped in, or he had a pool shaped into a heart or something. Like, what the fuck is going on?
And it varies, because there are some people who are just like time hopping. And I don't know if that's what Javi's doing, but there are people who time hop.
There's gotta be like, yeah, because and I don't even know how to do it.
You just change the time on your Switch, but.
You could manually do that on system still. I thought they would just like automatically sync up with
the world. I was actually surprised that, because I'm like, oh, I just assumed that like the internet would kick in and be like,
it's like, I've never adjusted the clock on any of my systems anymore, and they know what time it is and shit. So it's just like, oh. It's weird because, like, you know, we've all owned the game the same amount of days basically here. Well, Tony, you just got it like a day or two ago, right? But it's like, it's weird because, like, it often feels like you've done everything you could do within a half hour of playing for that day. But, like, if it's my day off, I just so want to not, like, deal with the actual world right now that, like, I just spend all fucking day in there. And so, yeah, like, I'm not even, like, as progressed as, like, Javi is, for example. So it's just like, man, some people either gotta be cheating or they're just, like, way more focused with what they're doing than me. But
so the only way in the game to advance a day is for a day to actually pass in real
life.
If you don't want to cheat. And I never, ever cheat on these games.
Yes, when it says, like, oh, it'll be ready the next day, they literally mean the next day.
Yeah.
Okay. The difference is, like, yeah. So, like, if you do something at, like, 4:55 a.m. and then 5 a.m. hits, it's the next day. So that's, but if you do something at 5:05 a.m., the next day is 24 hours away.
All right. Well, I was able to get into somebody's island on Saturday. Our friend Amanda, I was able to get on her island, and she gave me some oranges. No, not oranges. She gave me cherries and pears. And so that's what I now have. My mom sent me oranges in a
package. Your mom?
Yeah, so like the
mom in the game.
The mom in the game.
Oh, I was like...
the present that I got from mom in the game was oranges.
Yeah, my mom sent me pears, I think. So essentially, your mom sent you another fruit that you don't.
My mom sent me more apples.
Did she?
My mom hates me. My mom is sick.
Have you guys been doing the Nook Miles, like, tickets to go to Rando Islands?
No, I heard that's how you can, like, farm other shit, though.
Well, it's like, I've used a bunch of them. I think after I got the upgrades I wanted, like, you know, in terms of, like, inventory and shit like that, like, I've been using my miles to mostly go visit random islands, and I'd say 98% of them have all just been cherries, which is already my native fruit, which is, like, bullshit. But I finally, like, yesterday landed on an island that had a fuckload of peach trees, so I fucking... I think I left that island with, like, 57 fucking, or, you know, 50-something, like, peaches, and fucking made bank off that. And then there was another island I landed on with the tarantulas, and I got, like, one or two of them. I didn't realize how much they were worth at the time. I just took off. This island's a nightmare. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I should have fucking farm the fuck out of those. You know, if you land on an island with tarantulas, I guess, you know, I forgot how much they're worth. They're worth, like, thousands, like, for each one. But they're a pain in the ass.
So, like other games, like, you can upgrade your house eventually and get more rooms and...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so, I've... Upgrade. So the first thing you do is you upgrade the size. It's in order, I think. I don't think you get to pick. So the first thing you do is you upgrade the size of your room, and then you pay that off. And then the next thing you do is you add an extension. So I got the second room today, and then I have to pay that off. On the
same floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember in the past, in like earlier versions of the game, sometimes it would be like, do you want a basement or do you want a bigger house? Like, they would let you choose between two different things. So far, it's been very much just like, here's your next step.
Okay. I mean, right now, there's nothing in my house anyway. Like, I have a cot, I have a cardboard box with a stand mixer on it. I don't even know where that stand mixer came from. And then I have a Switch and a radio.
I think everyone got the Switch. It just seems like...
Yeah, everybody gets the Switch, but if you have the Animal Crossing Switch, you get the Animal Crossing Switch in-game.
I have...
And then if you don't, it's like 35,000 bells.
Yeah, I'm good.
I have some cool shit in my house. Like, I have a pinball table. I have an espresso machine, which I love because I have one in real life and I'm obsessed with it. So I'm like, oh, that's neat, you know. But like, you know, it's just kind of a random assortment of things, you know, and I put stuff in storage that I don't really give a fuck about.
Yeah, my house is a complete mess of random stuff. It's better now since I've sold off a lot of stuff to Beatters. But yeah, like, I'm going into my house. So my floor is a roadway. So it's like a road. And then my wall is like a New York City skyline. So right now I have a washing machine, I have a toilet, I have a record player, a dinner set, a nightstand, a table, two wardrobes for some odd reason, clothes, my wardrobe, a kitchen sink, a drying rack, a cot, I've not upgraded my bed yet, a fridge, and a deep fryer.
It's funny when you come up to my house, it's like, oh, this person may actually have an understanding of like what the hell is going on. Like outside, I have like a lawn chair and a lamp and like the watering can next to the flowers. And then you go down, like I have like a little, there's this little strip of land that goes out to the ocean. It overlooks the ocean. There's a cot, the hammock there. It's a hammock that's like right by the ocean. It's like, oh, that's pretty. And then you get in my house and it looks like a crazy person lives there. Shit just scattered everywhere. At some point, maybe I'll get some interior decoration going on.
Do you guys have a theme or like something that you want to go for your house?
Not necessarily.
I'm going pure evil. Like, I want to do, like, you know, I want to make it like a Halloween house, you know?
I did name my island Scarif, which is it's the island in Rogue One that blows up at the end. where they had the Death Star plans at.
I named mine Haddonfield. I had to misspell it to fit it in the very limited town name. Like, come on, dude. Like, you get, yeah, like, 10 characters. Sucks, dude. Like, I was originally going to name it Klitz Creek, and I got, like, halfway through fucking spelling that out, and it was like, sorry. Klitz Creek. Yeah, and so I was just like, okay, I'll do Haddonfield, and it, like, was one letter too long, so I spelled Haddonfield with one D.
I named my island Pot Roast, because I was hungry while I was making it.
I named mine Yarr. Rancix, which is just orange in two different languages separated out. It's my favorite color. It's kind of exotic, but it's just orange, and it defeats the purpose because it got cherries. But I meant the color, not the fruit. So
fair enough. All right. Well, I think we're all going to be continuing to play
Animal Crossing for a bit. As I've poured you jokes to a lot of people this past week, who knew Animal Crossing would become the biggest fantasy game of the year? You get to go outside, you get to hang out with your friends, You get to gather in groups of more than five people.
It's, I don't want to like overstate this too much, but it's such the right game for the right time. Like, it's just like, I need something fucking low stress and just like allows me to escape. And like, you know, I don't know. The game is just kind of a pure joy. Like, I've always loved this series. So the game is just a pure joy for me to begin with. And it's just got like that vibe to it.
Yeah. And I think, honestly speaking, it's funny, and we'll get to this in a bit, because I've been alternating between this and like other games this week, and it's such a weird, because yeah, you could go on for 5 minutes, you could go on for 2 hours, and you probably do the same amount in both times, but you feel like you've accomplished so much no matter how long you've played this game for.
Yeah.
Because I saw somebody complaining, like, there isn't a lot to do with multiplayer. There's no multiplayer maps or games. I mean, I do think this is a problem. Like even if people visit you or you visit other people, they don't show you where they are on the map. You just kind of wander around and hope you run into your friends at some point.
Yep.
But I enjoy that. It's like this weird game of hide and seek, almost.
I just like taking friends on a tour, like, hey, like, this is my house, like, whatever, like,
stuff you can't do in real life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's complete fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
Having people over, sitting by the fire at night.
I saw something like really sweet earlier, actually, that there was a couple that had like a wedding plan for this month and they weren't able to do it because of this shit. And they got like a surprise wedding from their friends in the game. Like, their friends like secretly fucking like planned and set up all this cool looking shit to make it like a wedding like ceremony. And like, when the couple showed up in the town, like, they were just like, everyone was like waiting there. I'm like, that's fucking really nice.
That's cool. Animal Crossing, bring people together, stress free living,
fucking saving our lives.
Unlike the Eternal. Oh my god, like, not a that is a stressful game.
I think we said like last week, like, we get these two games that are total escapes, and it's like there is a truth to that about Doom, but yeah
there is something that maybe you need because you can take out some frustration, but also that game is super frustrating itself at points. I did finish it, Jeff. I don't know how far you made it in.
I'm on, is there a level called like the Ark something?
Yep.
What's it called?
I don't know off the top of my head, okay. But it's, you're like level 6 or so.
That's it. I think I'm maybe saying 7 or 8, I don't know, but the one thing about that, though, is, like, the levels are very long. Like, sometimes you can play a level for well over an hour, it feels yes. like. Yeah.
They are long. And some of them are really fun. Arc Complex, Jeff, and that is level 6.
Jesus, I can't believe that's only level 6. It feels like I've done twice as many levels.
Because they're long. They're all, yeah, like, about an hour. The game took me 14 hours to finish.
Is it 14 levels?
It's 13 levels.
Okay. All right. So for where I am at right now, dude, like, and I know like you're going to be the authority on this, because one, not only have you just beaten the game, but you just played through Doom 2016 right before.
Yes.
Where I am right now, though, I'm mostly really liking the game, and it's like, it's totally like the type of shooter that I want. Like, I've always said on this show that like, I miss, right? And one thing I love about both 2016 and this new one for me is like, it feels like Doom. Like, it's like, very, if much, you did Doom now, you're just going to add a lot of like cool mobility and shit to it. And that's exactly kind of what it is. But yeah, it's pretty tough.
It is a hard game. Even if you drop it down to easy, it can be easy. Hard at points.
It's hard. Very hard.
And God, playing it on anything harder than that is a test of patience. So I started out on it. I wasn't super keen. Like the first level or so, I was like, this is all right. Like, I don't know. Everything's overly aggressive. Like the enemies are way more aggressive than they were in Doom 2016. And that's fine, I guess. Like, it's just, this does not feel exactly the same. And then, I don't know, the cultist based, I wasn't quite happy with. That's like level 3. But then I did this Doom Hunter base, which was a lot of fun. And then Super Gore Nest, which was a ton of fun. And I was like, I started to turn on it. Like, yeah, this is good. And then I hit this boss called the Marauder.
Yeah, which I've seen a bunch of people talking about.
So he is a boss that is lightning quick, like moves super fast. Can kind of, like he'll like run up to you and then teleport to the side almost.
He almost reminds me of, I can't remember the more common enemy that kind of like slithers around.
The snake one?
Yeah. Like just kind of like where it's just like they're skinny and they move around so much that it's like a pain in the fucking ass just to hit them.
Yeah, so like the snakes are kind of annoying, but they take like 3 or 4 hits.
Yeah.
This guy takes like 20 to 25 hits with your shotgun. And the only time he's vulnerable is after his eyes glow green, which kind of indicates he's going to attack you melee up close.
It's almost like a parrying thing from what I understand. It's like, okay, I see the eyes go green. Now I can take a shot. Him. Yeah.
Except like the shotgun has like a much more narrow focus this time around. Like,
yeah.
So if you don't have it right on him and you need to land a direct hit on him to hit him. And if you do, you stagger him.
And then ammo's precious too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, you stagger him, you get another hit in, and then the loop begins again. And they'll throw out like, the little zombie guys that you can chainsaw and get more ammo or like hit a couple times to get more health. But it was a frustrating fight the first time you come up against them, and it literally at that point I had 15 lives.
Okay, so that's up. What made me laugh when you said that. You're like, he went into my whole stockpile of lives. I was like, stockpile? I don't have no fucking like I have like maybe one life on me at a time, like, you know, one extra.
So that's a big change for Doom Eternal, is that you get these one-ups, extra lives. Yeah, yeah, they're hidden all over the map. Some of them are, you know, pretty like they're doable, like they're right there. Other ones are pretty well hidden. But I had pulled up about 15 of them by the time I got up to this guy, and he ate through 5 of them. I was like, that's annoying, but. All right, fine, whatever. And then he becomes a normal enemy. Like, they start throwing him out in battles over the last 3 or 4 levels.
Like,
and they do that with another one, too. There's another boss that you fight that he's, like, on this hover sled. And you have to... He has a shield, and you take him down with the plasma rifle. You take the shield down, you blow up his sled, and then you take him down. And he does become like a regular enemy as well, but he's doable, right? Like, and the first time you fight him, you're fighting 2 of them at once, I believe. And they're a pain, but they're a doable enemy. When they throw the Marauder out there, it's like, no, like I'm trying to deal with these fucking mancubuses over here and these snakes. It's fucking insane. And so you think that's where, like, that's the worst it could get, is they start throwing these asshole enemies out. And then they throw this thing called the Archvile, who can summon hordes of enemies. And he creates a big fire shield around them. So you have to kill him quickly, or else he will summon, like, the armored mancubuses, the ones
and so you're dealing with them, also trying to take down his shield.
Trying to take down him and his it's like, oh my god. So it just becomes really frustrating in like the last 3 or 4 levels. There's some like really cool shit in there. It's just that the battles just get really frustrating. And by the time I came level 12, there's what seems like is maybe the final boss. It's not. I had no extra lives left. So you have to beat that boss like in one go, which is fine. Like that's, I guess that's how it's designed. And I did do it. It just took me extra time. And it was just like, this is getting frustrating to the point where I want to throw the controller and like, that's not good. Cause that's not fun. And yeah, there, I don't know. Like, dude, 2016 was so much fun. And this one is just like really frustrating, even though there's like a lot of cool shit in it.
It's where it's like, that's the thing is like, so far I'm finding it very challenging, but I'm like, I love the things that they added. I love like, you know, Doom 2016 had secrets and stuff, but it just feels like this, there's more of that around the level here. And yeah, it's, you know, the platforming elements are really cool. I like first-person platforming. So like, I don't know, but like I'm on that like edge of it right now. I'm like, I just don't know. If I, like it, the levels are just so long and stressful, and I keep hearing like it's going to get so much worse that I'm like, maybe if I just stop soon, I can just go Doom Eternal. That's pretty good.
I had fun with that.
Like, and some of it, like, you know what's interesting too is I was watching a video about the history of Doom, I think last night or whatever, and it was like, kind of reminds me of the difference between the original Doom and Doom 2, where it was like,
so yes,
I like playing Doom 1 more.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
So Doom 64 came out as well. And so I, you know, finished Doom Eternal. I was like, I have Doom 64. Let's install that. Oh, I also have Doom 2 and Doom 3. Let's install those.
Well, I haven't all played of them any, on like every system.
I haven't played any Doom 2 on the Xbox. I don't remember it very well. So I started playing. I was like, I don't like this. Like this isn't a good Doom. Like,
I think it's similar enough to Doom, but it's like Doom just feels so iconic and it's like more basic. And that's kind of like how Doom 2016 is. It's like, it's the more basic version of what this is. And it might be better for that.
Yeah. Cause like Doom 2 is like, all right, so what do we, and this is
let's make it harder. Let's add more enemies.
Yeah. Like, it's like, that's the problem I'm having with Doom Eternal is like, we're going to give you more of everything. Instead of building on what was good about that first one, we're just going to give you more, like more enemies, more secrets, more bosses. Like instead of, like I remember, like you come up on the end of Act One of Doom, and like you're going to fight that boss, and it's like it's fucking crazy, right? Like it's this big boss battle, and it's hard. And then in Doom 2, like halfway through the first act, you come across a room that has like three of those guys.
Yeah, it's like you're starting at 11, and that's how Doom Eternal
like,
is.
What the fuck is this? Like, and I don't know. That's kind of how I felt about it. It's like Doom and Doom 2016 are so, they just focus so well.
Yeah. And
like the sequel maybe doesn't know what it's going for quite as much. And to note, there's more story in Doom Eternal. It is absolute trash.
I'm not paying attention at all. I'm just like, cool, there, heavy metal.
There's awesome. So much. There's a whole level, Jeff, that is just story related. Like,
oh boy, yuck.
You have like maybe one fight in that entire level, and it's still a 20 minute level. And it's all just exposition and storytelling to you.
From Doom?
Yeah.
Doom 3 actually has a lot. Doom 3 is almost like more of like, it's still Doom, but yeah, there's a lot more story in that one too. And it's like slower, almost like
it's almost more like survival horror-ish though, right?
It does have like the elements of Doom though, where it's like you're trying to get through a level to the end. You know, like there's an exit, you know, like, I don't know. Like,
that's another thing about that I really like about Doom 2016 is that there's a cohesion to everything. Like you start in this one place, and while you will go through portals and end up in hell, like most of it is like you're working your way across this Mars like military base or this factory to get from one end to the other, and there's a cohesion to it. And Doom Eternal is like, all right, we're gonna start you out in like some skyscrapers on Earth in this like ruined out city, and then we're gonna take you to Space Viking planet, like, and then it's like we're gonna take you to the Death Star from hell, like it's like all this like industrial looking shit, and then there's no cohesion. Like you're just jumping through portals to different places.
And see, like in theory, in my mind, I think that's cooler, but it's just, I don't know. I'm slowly coming around to the realization that I think you were right. And like, I don't know. Like I'm coming to realize that like for the same reason I like Doom 1 more than Doom 2, I think that this is like another situation like that. By the way,
yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So not to say that, like, I mean, ultimately, I ended up liking it. There's just a lot of frustrating shit in it. I think it's still a good game. It is. I am surprised, honestly, at the like high 80s, low 90s for that game. But
whatever. Like for me, so far, it would be like an 8. You know. But then again, I haven't gotten to the most frustrating stuff, so I don't know. But like, even then, it's hard for me to deny, like, that there's something fundamentally right about, like, the, you know, this reboot of Doom since 2016, and I just, again, I miss this type, but, like, this is so different from, you know, your average shooter these days. Like,
oh, yeah,
it doesn't feel like other shooters. It feels like stuff I miss.
It's a different type of game.
It feels like Doom. Like it feels like old Doom, like in a way. Like
yes, if you were to update, like this is what you want Doom. If you were to update Doom 2016 and even this is kind of what you would expect from that. So
and maybe like it's weird because I'm like old or whatever, or like maybe it shows that we're old, but I think that like the original Doom is still really fun to play, like and just
it is, so, yeah. I played it last year again and like it was a ton of fun. Like
but
challenging at the right spots. And
what I was going to say is, what do you think of Doom 64? I've played like two levels and so far I think it's really awesome actually. So
I haven't started it yet because I was like, oh, Doom 2. I didn't play that yet on Xbox One. So I started playing Doom 2.
Okay. Yeah. Like Doom 64. I've never played before. I don't know why. I never had it on the N64 back in the day. So far it's in the, you know, it feels like a Doom 3, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like a sequel to Doom 1 and 2. But actually, like, while it kind of looks like them still, like, it has, like, way better, like, shit going on. You know, the N64 was way more advanced than what those,
right,
you know, earlier versions could do. And so, like, it's just, like, this beefed up fucking version of Doom that's, like, I've never played before. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's just super cool. So I'm like excited to like I'm almost like to the point where I'm like, why don't I just play that just $5 game that I got for free? I'm like, maybe I'll skip Doom Eternal. Like again, because I just feel like I have so generally positive thoughts about Doom Eternal. I'm like, I don't want them to be ruined.
Yeah, I feel so good weird. About this game right now right that I can't that play I can't. It at all.
I know it's like a crazy thing to say, but it's like some games. Like they ruin it for me when they just ramp up, you know, near the end. I'm just like,
and also like
Ori. Ori's a perfect example. I stopped at the end. You know what? That game was great.
I can see that. Like, there's something to be said. Like, I got what I wanted out of this.
Yeah.
And I don't need more.
And it's like Ori. Before you go into the very final area of Ori, there's like a big escape sequence before that, like with the sandworm chasing you and shit. I'm like, that felt like a good climax for me. I don't need this like extra hard, extra level. So I'm just like, you know what? In my head, I beat Ori.
There you go.
I know it's wrong. But it's just like
Jeff's head canon says that he beat Ori and the Will-O-Wisp.
I have not counted it. There's been so many games this year where I've made it to like the final level or near the final level, and I'm like, I can't count this on my like Twitter list that I do. You know, like I gotta have some integrity on this.
Anybody else play anything this week?
They left us.
Like new or
yeah, I mean, whatever.
I've had a very interesting week with Animal Crossing. Yesterday I played Gears of War Horde mode. I did the whole 50 wave with some friends.
Nice.
On easy, to not big up ourselves too much.
Even on easy, that can be difficult.
That's difficult, yeah. But yeah, we did that. I don't think we ever got through the entire 50 waves before. At least I haven't with you folks. So last night was the first time we actually got through all 50 waves. So that was nice. And Gears remains an absolutely gorgeous game to this day. And then today, I quarantine, not going anywhere. I've really been digging into my game collection, or in this case, my Game Pass collection, which I realize I have to renew because it expires next week. So I was playing the Halo Master Chief collection with some my friends. I guess I knew that ODST and Reach are actual separate games you have to purchase to see the collection. But we pay.
Well, do you have Game Pass? Because they are available through Game Pass, I believe.
They are, but you have to pay for them.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Reach,
I mean,
I got Reach for free.
Yeah, I didn't pay for Reach.
Oh, well,
It's a Microsoft published game. How would it? That doesn't mean
not all their games are on Game Pass. But yeah, like it's Florida.
But we all actually bought the Master Chief Collection, right? Even though it's on Game Pass. So I'm pretty sure you get that if you.
I think you're right, Tony. I think I do remember reading that.
Yeah.
Either way, I played Halo Reach. Like I downloaded it for free like a month ago, and I played it.
Did you buy Reach, Earl?
No. We. To be fair, I've played Reach and I played ODST on the 360. So this was more just like starting it again. So eventually we just settled on we're just going to start from the beginning. So I played the,
Combat Evolved.
Is that what it's called?
Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition?
Yeah, Anniversary Edition. Yeah. So we played that, and I will say that the big takeaway from that is that I like the fact that it has the ability to switch from the two graphical styles just on the go with the touch of a button.
Yeah.
But my big takeaway was that just because something is better technologically does not mean it's better overall. Because like I switched between some of those environments and a lot of them look so much better in the original game. They are more aesthetically pleasing to me. Because, the new graphics are better on a technical level. But the original game looked a lot more alien, where this one looks so clean and pristine that stuff does not work. Like, we just finished the Truth and Isolation, which I think is the first mission on the planet surface. Okay. And in the original graphics, I think the games have gone a long way since then, but Halo is the name of the actual ring around a planet. And in the original, you can see that Curie in the sky and that the Halo is around this planet.
Yeah.
You can see another planet in the distance. In the new one, they kind of do it up. It's like this really nice this orange skyline. But the thing with that is like then the Halo's hidden. Like you can kind of see the outline of it, but it's hidden behind clouds. And the planet that's nearby is also hidden behind clouds. And I'm like, I get what they're going for, but it's not as nice because like this is like, oh, okay, we are on our planet. And it's like this outer ring that's kind of surrounding it that has like this nice earth strip to it. And it stands out where in the new graphics, it's just like, oh, it's pretty, but it doesn't work the same way. Like what really caught my eye was we were crossing a bridge. Just a regular bridge at the start of a level. And in the new graphics, it's like this really well-designed bridge. It has fluorescent lights on it. It's textured to hell. It looks great. But it's so human that like when you look at the old one, where it's just kind of like this stone bridge that has some texture on it. I'm like,
great slabs.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, this one looks more alien to me. This one has a bit more personality. This looks like a foreign planet to me. The other one looks like, oh, this looks really cool. And it does, but it does not look alien to me. It looks like any bridge you would see if you designed a bridge on Earth.
I miss, were you talking Halo 1 here or Halo 2?
Halo 1. They,
okay, yeah. Yeah, when I would switch, as I went through those, like I would switch between the two graphics a lot, but like I definitely sometimes got lost in the original graphics, and I still think that the original graphics look really good, like
yeah,
for what it was, and I don't know. Sometimes you just like want that feel, those graphics, the older graphics, give you that feel too, like of like. This is what a game of this era was. I don't know. Like, it's just, I kind of dig that era of graphics a little bit anyways, I guess. But even though they are kind of like technically fugly now, but
I mean, I don't know if they're, because there are games from the era. I mean, let's be honest. I think the best games of any era are the ones that are going to withstand the test of time. And it just kind of goes to show you that Halo was not, it wasn't just like a graphical showcase. It was just a really well-made game. I mean, you know, to big them up, I don't think they need a bigger ego. It's one of the reasons why Nintendo remains one of the premier companies in all the video games. It's because you got a game from the NES, the GameCube, the Wii, and those games still look good. Especially in the Wii case, where it probably was not the showcase of its generation. But like, I can't imagine somebody saying that Galaxy or Skyward Sword don't look like good games.
Wii Sports has like this clean, nice presentation to it, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will be honest. I don't think it's a graphical showcase, but I think Animal Crossing is an absolutely gorgeous game for what they do with it.
I think this new one's beautiful. I think it's great looking game. Like, yeah, it's simple. Like, it's, yeah, technically, maybe it's not like anything special, but I could definitely see it being in my, like, you know, in my picks for graphics, you know, at the end of the year, you know?
Well, I mean,
I think it's just a pretty game. Like, I mean, right compared now, to, like, the other, like the earlier versions of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the thing, and you know, it is kind of one. It's been what, 8 years since the last one. The other thing is like the last one was on a handheld, so there's a lot of room for improvement. And it's the first HD Animal Crossing
game. Yeah, and it looks fucking fantastic. Like, it looks kind of how you would expect it to
imagine,
look.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a new favorite thing in the game. It's giving bugs to Blathers because he's terrible.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, that is the best. My actual favorite thing in Animal Crossing right now is I was walking around, and as far as I know, nothing triggered it. It was just a random thing. One of my villagers was just outside singing to themselves. And I just sat there and I watched. I'm like, this is absolutely just like amazing. Like, there's nothing going on. It has no gameplay element. They're just singing to themselves because they have vibes of their own.
Dude, my fucking one villager's always walking around doing curls, fucking lifting up dumbbells and shit. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why are you hanging out in front of my house fucking lifting weights? Like,
wait, do you have Starling?
I have, God, what is his name? He's like my very first, it's like this big pink fucking ape.
Oh, okay. No, because like I have Sterling, who is a eagle who's heavy into, he's always talking like big, you know, getting jacked, and like he wants to do soccer or something like that. And I'm like, dude, take it down until you have it.
One of my other villagers is a penguin named Rald or whatever, and he's like, he always is coming up to me talking about working out and running and shit. I'm like, dude, shut up. I ain't doing shit. Like, I ain't
maybe it's a hint, Jeff.
He's just always just like, yo, man, are you getting fucking buff? I'm like, no, dude, I'm catching bugs. Fuck out of here.
Catching bugs.
I love all my villagers so far, but like, I am kind of sad that like two of the new ones I got are both squirrels. They're just like kind of like different colored squirrels. And like, having one squirrel is awesome because I think they're super cute looking, but like, I don't need more than one of one type, you know?
Yeah.
I used to love the eagle in the GameCube version. He was such a fucking asshole. Like, he was just like, this grumpy fucking asshole. Like, I don't know if he's like that in this one, but that's how I remember him in the GameCube one.
So you going to play more Halo, Earl?
Yeah, yeah. Again, I'm not going anywhere for a long time, so I got plenty of time.
Maybe you'll be out playing.
But, I mean, that's what I'm hearing, like, Easter. It is kind of funny, again, not naming names, but, like, you hear, like, people are like, oh, we're going to open up by Easter, and you hear other people, like, say, governors in New York being like, yeah, we expect the peak, the height of this to be, like, the day after Easter, like, April 16th or something like that. I'm like, oh, one of those has to be true, and I imagine it's the guy using the science. So,
science.
Science is overrated.
For some people,
science is fake news. It's fake news.
We're all gonna die.
Anybody else play anything?
I didn't play anything, but I bought a couple games. Trying to keep that economy afloat.
What did you buy, Jeff?
That
you
I was fucking drunk, as like we said. As I'm slowly turning into Ben Affleck. Yeah, you know, one night I was like, I need a break from whatever the fuck I was doing in Animal Crossing, and I went and checked out the eShop. You know, they always had the sales going. I said if, you know, Ukulele ever went down enough, I would get it on the Switch also, because I do kind of, like, dig that game now. And it was, like, $13. I think it was, like, yeah, something weird. It was, like, $13.79 or something. Like, it's normally $40. So I was like, yeah, there
it's
we go.
Good deal. Yeah.
Bought that. And then I bought Runner 3 because it was like $3. I haven't played a ton of those games, but like the demos I've tried seem pretty cool. So if you're, I think Chris, you've probably played that series, right?
Maybe.
Bit Trip Runner or whatever the fuck it is.
I think I played the first one. Yes.
I don't, like I said, I think I tried the demo for the second one. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And you have the new one. Like this is the one that came out like, I don't know, last year or something. It was $3, and I forgot what it was normally, but fuck, I was like, I can't pass that up. Haven't touched it, because Animal Crossing and Doom, but I'm sure I'll get around to both of them at some point.
Tony, you play anything?
Just Animal Crossing and more Apex Legends.
Apex.
Apex.
Okay, so just real quick, this isn't video game related, but I did mention it last week, so I've spent some of this week, and hopefully we'll get to experience this sometime in the next week. I have been, you know, just messing around with various board game sites as a means to kind of find other activities to do with people as we stay our 6 feet away. So I've tried out, on Discord, I tried out Mafia or Werewolf, whatever you want to call it, and Uno. Mafia works well because Mafia is a text-based game. So I would prefer, like, you know, like do that in a group chat and just have the Discord so that you can do this stuff in secret. Uno does not work as well as a text-based game because cards don't really work that way. I found a website that has Secret Hitya, which is, I don't know if any of you have played that game before.
My kids have played it. They keep saying that we should get it.
It's a ton of fun. I don't know if you want to do that with family members because you want to trust each other.
Yeah,
that's what we're
doing. I hope.
Come to my island and cut down my tree, please.
But yeah, so Secret Hitya is again a lot of these are secret role games, but like this one, you are like, it's secret roles, but you're trying to enact enough policy so the good guys win and the bad guys lose. And the website's pretty straightforward. It's pretty neat. I've tried Codenames, which works, but it isn't as fun as the actual game because it's just words instead of like actual pictures. And then I think we've looked into Board Game Arena. I've only played. What did I play today? One of the games I mentioned, and it was I played Sushi Go, which is. Like, you know, like none of it's gonna be having the actual set of playing with your friends in person. But I do think, again, as an alternative to finding activities to do with people outside of, well, the fact that you can hang out with people is always helpful.
Were you guys talking about Clubhouse Games earlier today about how, like, oh, fuck yeah, Clubhouse Games?
Yes, well, we're about to get to that with the Nintendo Direct.
I'm going to throw out real quick. I've never been impressed with that series. Like, it just feels so cheap. Anyways.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to, I mean, it is. Yeah, it's
supposed to get with.
But, yes. We'll as Jeff's bald a bit, the big news of the day or week is Nintendo Direct Mini.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Fucking Nintendo coming through in the clutch lately.
Ish. I mean,
this one was not great. There wasn't anything like.
Yeah, I was about to say, nobody seemed to be overly impressed by it.
I don't care. Fucking pretend. Like, honestly, they could do like that once a week and it could just be stupid shit like that. And I'd be like, yes, what are we going to find out today, guys? Like, as soon as you leaked that today, Earl, like, I watched the whole thing, like, while I was doing, you know, going around with my route. Like,
I would say it was a. It was a very bad start to my work day because I was set up. I was ready to actually do work. And it's like, here's like half an hour Nintendo content. I'm like, okay, this isn't going to happen. And then you have to talk about it. So,
you know, the one game no one really talked about that they showed that I thought, like, oh, and again, I was working, so I didn't see like the whole trailer, but like something Into the Depths that they were like, oh, it's available today. I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of neat, but.
Oh yeah,
is that what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that is. I have the PR open right now, and I'm trying to find the name of it. Because as far as I can understand, it is actually an Apple Arcade game. So it's been out, and a lot of people have positive impressions about it. But it's been ported to. Well, it's out today along with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 DLC, Fantastic Four with new actual new story mode. This is what, Shinsuke Into the Depths?
Yeah.
So that was out today. Panzer Dragoon Remaster was out today. Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy was out today.
That's Jedi Knight 3?
2. Is it? I don't.
So, like, that's an old game, right? That's not, like, yes. Some mobile game that they're porting.
It's a classic game. It's an older game.
Because I think they also said, like, oh, Episode 1 Pod Racer's coming. I'm like, the GameCube one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I don't think that... I don't know if that has online. Jedi Knight Jedi Academy has online for 16 players? I don't know what type of game that is.
Was that a PC game or something? Because, like, I didn't...
Yeah, I think the Jedi Knight series was a PC-only franchise at the time.
Okay.
I mean, the big story for me is that Xenoblade Definitive Edition is coming out May 29th. It is a remastered of Xenoblade Chronicles from the Wii. It includes a brand-new epilogue, improved graphics. They said they reorchestrated some of the music. And I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. I've said it to other people. I mean, honestly speaking, this is one of my top 5 games of all time. So I'm looking forward to it. And I hope if people have not had an opportunity to play it on either the Wii or the 3DS, give it a chance. I don't think
I'm getting it, but like the Wii U one, did you like that one? Because I thought that was pretty good. That's the only one I've played.
I enjoyed that, but I think, I mean, I've played all 3 of them, and I think the original is still the best of the 3.
Okay.
The other biggish news, I guess, was we got a whole slate of third-party ports. The Bioshock Collection, which is Bioshock, Bioshock 2, and Bioshock Infinity. The Borderlands Collections, which is Borderlands 1, Borderlands 2, and Borderlands the pre-sequel. And for some odd reason, called the XCOM 2 collection, even though as far as I could tell, it only includes XCOM 2.
XCOM 2 is like a big expansion, though. That's like completely different.
But it's still just one game.
Well, I think that the expansion kind of changes.
Yeah.
That game.
Normally, when you have like a strategy game with a bunch of expansions, they sell it as like a collection.
Okay, that is just weird. I mean, I guess compared to like the BioShock collection, which is three individual games, and the Borderlands collection, which is three individual games.
Yeah.
To have the XCOM 2 collection, which is, I mean, it sounds like a really fancy Game of the Year edition.
It's so, but like there's XCOM 2 and then XCOM 2, is it War of the Chosen?
Something like that.
Yeah. It's, while
it is
basically the same game, like the story does change a little bit, and the War of the Chosen stuff gives you more alien stuff to use. So it actually does change how the game plays. Yeah.
But, and then I guess four DLC packs, Resistance Warrior Pack, Anarchy's Children, Alien Hunters, and Shin's Last Gift.
Yeah, so I mean,
there's a lot of content to justify it not being.
We're calling it a collection is
yeah.
But as Tony said, that's just kind of general standard practice for strategy games.
But honestly speaking, I think the weirdest thing about it is that for some reason 2K's like, we up the Switch and we're going to announce all these games and release them on the same exact date. So all of these games are coming out the same time as Xenoblade 2, Xenoblade Definitive Edition, so they're all coming out May 29th. I have no idea why you would release all of these games on the same
date. You dump everything on the same date, they sell poorly, and you say, well, we tried.
But I imagine that they, because it's not like 2K have ported other games to the Switch, I imagine they've done well enough for them to continue porting games. And, I mean, call a spade, it's not like April is that packed, or June, that you couldn't like do like even like one a week for 3 weeks would have been better than having all three of them come out on the same day.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else did we have? I mentioned the Marvel vs. Capcom Ring Fit Adventure had a new update. It added a rhythm game. If you can find it in stores anywhere near you, let me know because I'm looking for a copy of that as well. I mean, I'm indoors. I'm sure we're all looking for indoor ways to keep active.
Yeah.
Active, sure. Active.
I mean, I enjoy drinking as much as the next person, but I have to balance that somehow.
Do you?
I do.
Water?
As he gets the hiccups.
Yeah, I realized that. I was hoping nobody noticed.
I want someone to tell me about Panzer Dragoon. Do I want to play this game? I've never played it. I know it's like, isn't this like the game that like everyone like kind of has like this major like nostalgia Woody for?
Yeah, it's sure. I've never played it.
But sure,
it's a rail shooter, right?
Yeah, it's an on rail shooter.
So like, if I like Star Fox, will I like it? Like,
yeah, kind of essentially.
Sure. Yeah, you probably would.
How much is it? You guys know.
I think it's 25.
Expensive. What?
More expensive than I would have thought.
Well, I guess that's like, I guess, because I know that's like is that the one that's like super expensive to buy the actual copy of? Like the physical? Like,
I believe so. Yeah. Saturn?
Or is Saturn?
It one of those.
It's like a system, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's the Saturn.
Is it really? Wow.
That in itself is tough. Like
to find.
Yeah.
Because there were. Yeah, it's funny. Like the less popular you are, the harder you become. Because it's like there's only so many out there in the wild. Like I'm pretty sure it's easy to find a PlayStation 2.
Right. I will say that about Bethesda with Doom 64. That is a tough game to find. And it is expensive if you do find it physically.
I would have figured it'd be common.
It's evidently a pretty expensive cart, and tough to come by as well. But Bethesda dropped that shit out there for $5.
or
free for a pre-order,
right?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, like. I don't know. I think it's awesome. Like again, I only played two levels, but I was like, yeah, this is gonna be great.
It's like I have to respect them for, you know, they're honoring their legacy by like, you know, continuing to put this stuff out there. But they could have gouged people and been like, hey, you know, we're gonna drop this for $20 because nobody's played it, and it's tough, and it's a new Doom game for most people. And instead, they were like, "Yeah, $5, just like the other, you know, ugly Doom game."
Yeah,
this one's not as ugly as those, but
it has that visual style. As yeah, those, so it's cool.
Anything else from that direct, Earl?
Maybe this is Tony's thing. I don't know. King's Bounty 2, never heard of it. Ninjaya, which is a free-to-play action. Like
Splatoon?
Yeah, it's very much like Splatoon, and I'm actually kind of digging that. We'll see. It's free-to-play, yeah. So I'll try it out. Bravely Default 2nd, well, Bravely Default 2, sorry, Bravely Default 2nd is a different game. Was announced already, but it has a demo that's out, and I'm actually downloading that, so hopefully I have impressions for that next week.
Okay.
Catherine Full Body port, Burnout Paradise port. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of ports to...
Burnout and then Paradise, I guess, on the go, man.
Yeah, and I guess the big thing, well, not big thing, but like kind of the big tease, was that the next Smash Brothers Ultimate character will be from Up Arms, and they didn't say who it would be, so that's the big hook, is like, which character from Arms will it be? It should only be one person, but we'll see if they're smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
Didn't they say that Arms is free or something right now?
They're doing a trial this weekend. And it was funny, because I was wondering, because they're doing a trial, and then they have a tournament next month. And I was like, I think I tweeted out earlier in the week. It's like, it's weird that Nintendo remembers this game existed. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they're in Smash Brothers. I'm like, okay, that makes sense in hindsight. That's just trying to remind people, like, yes, we did create another new IP recently that none of you bought. So.
Wait, you said it was good, Arms?
I enjoy it, but I also understand why people might not. It's not like the most complex fighting game.
It just looks so wacky. Like, I wouldn't mind trying it, but, like, you know, I'm just like, am I really going to download this and fuck around with it for a day or two?
You bought two games you aren't going to play anytime soon, so you might as well download it and not play it.
You know, I'm not super into fighting games, but, like, there's just something about Arms. I'm like, that's like such a weird idea.
Yeah. Any other news going on? I didn't really see a whole lot.
I didn't see anything that stuck out this week.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, I mean, there's not a lot to talk about. Everybody's kind of going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Games, baby. Did anyone try the Resident Evil 3 demo?
Did not.
I didn't even download it. It's so close anyways. It's like, what, next week? So I'm like,
Yeah, it is next week. Yeah, wow.
Friday.
Time has no meaning recently.
Yeah, the fact that it's on Friday, I was just like, I don't want to like play like whatever this opening portion of the game is.
March has been like same part, probably like in the first hour of the game anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so am I getting my dates correct? Resident Evil is April 3rd, and yes. Then Final Fantasy is April 10th?
April 10th. Yes.
All right. I mean, I'll probably finish Resident Evil 3 in a week.
Again, especially if none of us are going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that has been my big thing. I mean, I'm just hoping that everybody's getting outside a bit.
Trying to go for walks.
Go for walks. If you got a backyard, hang out there. Just, you know, like, mix up your environment. Don't do like me and just shrink your problems away.
Or you can drink your problems away. Or
do both. Like, go for a walk and drink your problems away. That's what I try to do.
Sure, do both. Whatever makes you feel better about yourself
and the situation. Whatever makes you remember what day of the week it was.
But yeah. Also, if you're working from home, don't get so drunk that you can't do that.
Sure, don't do that. That would be
bad. I mean, I think the important thing is that if you have video calls, because I think you can get drunk and kind of do your job.
Really depends on what your job is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can get better. At least that's how I felt when I used to write a lot. I felt like the words would just flow a lot easier after
I was slightly buzzed.
Yes. Sure. The question then becomes, just because the words are thrown, are they good words?
I sometimes would read shit that I wrote the next day, and I would be like, I'm being honest, like, I would be like, wow, like, you wrote that? Like, it was, like, good. I swear to God, dude.
I was about to say, because you could also be like, wow, you wrote that?
I mean, sometimes some of the stuff you wrote would be embarrassing, but, like, more often than that, I was like, holy fuck. Like, what the fuck was that?
Drug channeling? Brilliant. Channeling God something damn.
There? You know, yeah.
I will say, if you are doing video calls, get dressed.
Well,
and make sure other people in your house are also dressed.
Fair. That too. Yep. Yes.
Not referencing anything in particular,
no,
right?
Of course not.
not at all.
Don't put a shirt on, 8-year-old. Goddamn.
And give people a heads up that you're on a video call and maybe don't walk behind you or around you. But I mean, just to kind of reiterate what I said 2 weeks ago, and what I said to ask people, like, hey, get dressed every day.
Work out a hand signal so that you don't have to say to someone, I'm on a call.
Yes.
No.
Yes, that is very important. Like, I mean, there are basic ones like just say, give people the stop and shh. But yeah, something you could do off screen so you're not doing it in front of the camera as well.
Well, so yeah. I have my headset on today, and my 6-year-old is trying to talk to me. I'm like, I'm on a call. But I can't say that out loud because, you know, I'm on a call. I'm like pointing at my headset. I'm like mouthing the words. He's like, but Daddy, I really need to get that down from the shelf. Like, no, I can't help you right now.
In a little bit.
You can.
Yeah, I just say that because my boss sent me a text Monday morning and was like, hey, want to do a video call for our morning meeting. You know, get yourselves prepared. So, like, I've been getting up and getting dressed anyway, just because I feel better about myself if I do that. But, like, I'm still just wearing a t-shirt or whatever around the house. So I just, like, I throw on my work, like, I have a work fleece that has the logo on just like over my t-shirt, and like, all right, I'm kind of dressed. And then one of our other coworkers shows up, his hair's all fucked up. He's like, yeah, I'm good. you escaped the apocalypse, dude.
I don't know why I thought the end of that story was going to be like, and everyone came in suits or something.
No, it's just like...
I was half expecting somebody to say, like, they just kind of rolled out of bed, and they were still like in like their white t-shirt. And
that's like, pretty much what happened.
Yeah. Well, I was on a call today with my team, which is 6 guys, and I'm clean shaven right now, but everybody else looks like they're like growing an apocalypse here.
I am. I can't even call here than I am.
I mean, I think a lot of people are growing an apocalypse fan. They're just like, we're just not going to do anything until it's over. My team's 12 people, 10 females. So like almost everybody's always presentable. I don't dress like how I dress at work. I do dress up. I wear jeans and a t-shirt when I'm home just to change out of my PJs. But like Monday, just because it's more psychological for me, because like the change in the week don't mean anything anymore. Like, what does the weekend mean if the whole week you're home anyhow?
Right.
So like Monday, I was like, okay, I'm going to like to reset myself up for the work week. I got up, I ironed, I had a button up, I had on slacks and everything. I'm like, nobody's going to see me. It doesn't matter to anybody else. But I'm like, I want to do something to separate the work week from my I'm home all week mentality.
See, I go the opposite way. I'm like, I'm so happy that I don't have to put on clothes. It's awesome.
No,
get what Earl's saying, though. It's like, because my wife actually lost track of touch. She's like, what day is it? Because she doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah. And that's part of the keeping up the routine. Because I don't do it. I mean, honestly speaking, and I hope nobody at my Eric's ever isn't it. It's not a lot for me to do day to day because, and I've mentioned this before, because of the situation we ended up in with this whole thing, is that we ended up canceling anything that's like, for the time being, we're not doing any event, and that's a big part of fundraising for us. Our direct mail campaign starts in the mid-April. which will ramp up some work for us to do. But at the same time, you're fundraising for a system that's not open. It's really awkward to be like, your money's going towards us doing all this terrific work that we can't do right now. So it's like this weird kind of dry period for us right now. So there's not a lot for me to do, but I still go through the routine of getting up, getting dressed, setting up a workstation and being there from 9 to, let's say 5-ish. I mean,
sure, 9 to 9:30. Got it.
Well, I mean, honestly speaking, it's like 9:30 to like 3:30. But you know, that honestly speaking, that's my one major disconnect. There's no way to do it right now. Is because I'm using my personal computer for work because I don't have a work computer. So like once I sign up for work, it's just my computer. So, like, my email's still open. I use Slack personally. That's still open. So, like, when work stuff comes up, I still check that. So, there's no real, like, sign-in off period. It's just me, like, being like, okay, if I don't respond to this right away, it's not a big deal. But even, like, last night, somebody messaged the group at, like, 8, and I still responded to it because I'm like, oh, I'm still here. My boss messaged me at, like, 7:30 this morning. I'm like, okay, I will do this because I'm still here anyhow.
Yeah.
Put on pants is the key message we're getting.
Put on pants. Or don't. You know, don't put on pants. Drink during work. Do whatever you want.
Don't put on pants. Just make sure you're sitting down for the video call.
Okay. To be fair, you don't have to put on pants, but you have to change out of your pajamas. You have to put on something that isn't the clothes you went to bed in. Is that fair?
Yes, I think that is fair. It just do wonders for your mental.
I mean, it's fine. I'll change my shirt.
Good to know, Tony. All right. Well, we will be back next week. I'm not sure with what because Resident Evil does not come out till Friday, so.
I'm sure we'll have more apocalypse news.
Oh, yeah. We'll have Bravey Default 2 demo if anybody wants to check that out. Demo. Again, we'll have more Animal Crossing. We'll have the first days of the Bunny Festival.
Yeah, baby.
And I think I was the only one who saw it. But if anybody's interested, Sonic the Hedgehog's actually because of this whole situation.
I saw it.
Out tomorrow night, I believe. Video on demand. So you could pick that up. We could talk about that. But most importantly, beyond anything else that's happening, next Thursday, my birthday. So got that to look forward to.
All right. Yes. Earl's birthday.
Good old 35.
We're going to celebrate hard and bring in Earl his.
It'll all be older than Earl is. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, sure. I will say, and part of, I mean, I'm sure I never know how much of it is like, oh, right, we could tell he's super drunk. Part of the reason I was drinking tonight so far is my friend's birthday was tonight, so we had kind of like a Zoom virtual
happy hour.
Birthday. Yeah.
That's one of the cool things about this happening now. Like, if this whole thing had happened, like, even 10 years ago, it would have been so much worse.
It would have been on, like, Tiny Chat.
Right. Well, you have like all these like online happy hours and stuff now that you couldn't do before.
Yeah. Like, and I've mentioned, and Tony brought this up, and I've mentioned this to people. It's also very, very, very much highlighting the difference between, like, you know, like those quote unquote boomers in the workplace and the younger generation because. Like I said, I've had to pay IT support for the past 2 weeks for my team.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh. One of my colleagues was like, this program, it's slow today. And I'm like, it's not slow. I think it might be your internet. And her response was, okay, I'll just restart my computer. And I just like, what?
My favorite thing, though, is like there's a lot of people who you can clearly tell do not try at all, and they're just like, this is broken. And I'm just like, and they're like, oh, this is broken. Can you help me with this? And I'm like, okay, did you do this? Like, no. And they do this, you know, like, try.
Here's what I'm asking. Ask them for a screenshot of what they say isn't working.
Yes.
They'll be like, oh, it's working now. Or, I don't know how to do a screenshot. And so then they get really dumb, and then you can, like, they become more pliable.
Like, one of my coworkers I actually enjoy talking to and hanging out speak, you know, working with. And she was like, oh, I have this problem at work and I can't figure it out. And I'm like, okay, one, this is the problem with remote IT support in general. It's like, you never know where to start. Cause my thing is like always like, I just assume everybody's like on the same page. Like, we can at least get to where you need to go. And we have to like start from the scratch. Like, you go to this website, you click on this, it was essentially like, we have a virtual drive for one of our programs that saves it to that stuff, and then you can move it to your Yoko drive if you want to. And she couldn't figure out how to do that. And I literally asked, okay, is there a drive on this that says like Yoko drive, C drive or whatever? She's like, no, I don't see that. I'm like, okay, can you just take me a picture of what it shows so I can figure it out? She takes a picture, and like right there, different logo and everything, Yoko drive, C drive. And I'm just like, so you see that button right there? That one right there. She's like, oh, that's not working for me. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But she sorted it out, and I'm like, but yeah, it's one of those things where you just realize like everybody's awful with computers.
Yep. One of the things I do like about the system we have is not only can they share their screen, but I can ask them to give me control of it.
Oh yeah, and I think we have that in office, but again, because this was such a thrown together work from home situation,
right?
And I don't. I mean, IT has it. I don't. But
yeah. So that's how I've got, like, can't figure out like how to get my two monitors. They're both showing the same thing. Like, well, this is what you have to do. It's not doing it. Like, all right, share your screen. Give me control. There, just like two clicks and it's fixed.
Two clicks and it's. And I mean, on the bright side, you get to look like a genius for it.
Right.
On the flip side, it's just super annoying because it's like, really.
Yep. And it's like, I just think like I know that they don't want to call our IT, because our IT would just be, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, we're trying to deal with way bigger things than this. So they ask like me or the other guy at our department. And it's, I cannot do IT full time.
I have friends in the IT department. Because IT department attracts a certain type of person, and that type of person I align with more often than not. And yeah, I see them, and they're like, they're being scammed, and because not only is it that, but they're also having to be responsible for like updating all of our websites and outreach and stuff like that. And I'm just like, how? They're professionals. They won't ever say names or complain about it. But I always just kind of ask like broad terms, like, are you folks getting more complaints about X, Y, and Z? And like, yes. And they're like, especially once it's stuff that like, there are stuff that happens often enough that they just kind of put up general, like, this is how you do X, Y, and Z. And people still don't do that. And so it's still them getting calls about stuff. And it's like, you could tell that they're just copy and pasting stuff over and over again.
Yeah, it's the same shit every day.
Yeah.
Well, be nice to your IT people out there.
Be nice to everybody. Be nice to your grocery store people.
Yes. Very much so. Jesus. Like,
I haven't been to the grocery store in like over a week or whatever, but I can only imagine what it's like to work in that environment right now. Terrible.
I will say, because I went to one yesterday just because to get out the house and I need to get some mayo for my sandwich. That it has calmed down, I think, in the past week or so. I think everybody's kind of done their panic shopping. It's not to say that people won't do more panic shopping, but I don't think you're getting the same frenzy that you got before.
They really need to stop, because I would like seriously one bottle of hand sanitizer to use while I'm working to not spread disease to people. So,
if anybody has an extra bottle of hand sanitizer, send it to Jeff.
I'm just saying though, like if you have like toilet paper and you have wipes or hand sanitizer, stop fucking buying more of it, dude. Like they'll keep making it. Let other people that don't have it buy it, dude. Like,
and here's the thing that bothers me to a lesser extent. Most people are working from home right now, or people are home because they can't go to work. You don't need hand sanitizer. Washing your hands is actually more effective.
Yep.
So do that. Like, the only reason you, like, for you, Jeff, I get it. You are outside all day. That makes sense to have hand sanitizer for. If you
come to your houses, so yeah, stop overbuying shit.
if you are home all day, honestly, if you're home all day, or even if you're home or at the office, you wash your hands. Like, you need hand sanitizer if you're not, like, if you're not going to be home for an extended period.
Yeah, it's like the on-the-go thing. Like,
yeah.
When I'm at home, I just use, like, hand soap.
Also, yeah, if you do use hand sanitizer, follow the directions.
That's right.
Don't light yourself on fire.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I don't know how, like, one does that.
Make sure it evaporates. If your hands are still wet, you're not done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you probably should not be putting enough hand sanitizer on your hand that they stay wet beyond rubbing your hands a few times. Because, like, I think what people do, like, really, hand sanitizer is supposed to be like 2 drops. It's not supposed to be like a puddle in your hand.
Like a shower and hand sanitizer. Like, oh. Well, let Jeff buy some hand sanitizer, or send him some if you have any.
Yeah, or put them next to those nasty notes you gave him. So.
And we'll be back next week with some more updates, and hopefully we'll be back. You know, as Earl said, we're still here. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight and good luck.